Here is a question I want you to sit with before we get into anything else. Your engine starts running rough. Not silent, not seized, just rough. You are 40 miles from your destination, 4,500 feet above a patchwork of farms and a couple of small towns. You have about an hour of fuel. The weather is clear. You can see the airport to the south if you look hard enough. What do you do? Do you declare an emergency? I am Pattern on Traffic Pattern, here on Radio Hangar. And the reason I'm asking that question the way I'm asking it is because the answer for most pilots in that exact situation is no. They do not declare, they reduce power, lean aggressively, maybe switch tanks, try to nurse the engine to the field, and most of the time they make it, but sometimes they do not. And the NTSB report that follows those accidents almost always contains a line that makes you stop reading for a moment. The pilot never declared an emergency. ATC had no idea anything was wrong until radar contact was lost. Today we are talking about the emergency declaration, why pilots avoid it, what it actually unlocks, and how you make that call in real time when your brain is already handling more than it wants to. Before we get into it, a quick mention of our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for the milestones that actually matter in this journey. First solo, private certificate, instrument rating, commercial. Each one is something real and tangible you can hold that says you did the work. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about why pilots do not declare emergencies. It is not because they do not know what an emergency is. Every pilot who has read the Federal Aviation Regulations knows that FAR 91.3 gives the pilot in command the authority to deviate from any rule to the extent necessary to meet an emergency. Every pilot who has been through even a basic ground school has heard, when in doubt, declare. The reason pilots do not declare has nothing to do with lack of knowledge, it has everything to do with psychology. There are a few things happening at once when something goes wrong in a cockpit. First, there's what researchers call plan continuation bias. You started this flight with a plan, you have a destination, you have a schedule or passengers, or just a mental image of landing at the airport you said you were going to land at, and your brain is working very hard to find reasons to keep that plan intact. So instead of asking whether the situation requires help, your brain is generating reasons it does not. The engine is just a little rough. You have heard it do this before in cold weather. It will smooth out. The second thing happening is the fog of increased workload. When something goes wrong, you get busy fast. You're troubleshooting, you're flying the airplane, you're watching instruments, you're thinking through checklists. And somewhere in that stack of competing tasks, call ATC is competing with everything else, and sometimes it just does not rise to the top. Not because you decided against it, because you never actually stopped to decide. The third thing, and this is the one nobody wants to say out loud, is fear. Fear of what declaring an emergency means for your certificate. Fear that the Federal Aviation Administration will come looking. Fear that you will say Mayday and then land uneventfully and look dramatic in front of everyone on the frequency. Let us deal with that last one right now, because it is almost entirely a myth. The FAA's guidance on this is clear. If you declare an emergency, the FAA may request a written report. That is, it may request. You are not required to submit one unless they ask. And the filing of that report, an honest account of what happened and why you declared, is not grounds for certificate action unless you were already doing something that violated the regulations before the emergency began. Here is something I wish someone had told me when I was training. The FAA is not looking to revoke your certificate because you used good judgment and asked for help when you needed it. They are far more interested in the accidents that happen when pilots do not ask for help. That is where the investigations go. That is where the safety recommendations come from. The paperwork fear is real, but the actual risk it represents is close to nothing compared to the risk you're taking by staying quiet when you should be talking. So what does declaring an emergency actually give you? When you squawk 7700 on your transponder, or you say the word Mayday on the frequency, a few things happen very quickly. ATC sees your transponder code change, and they know immediately something is wrong. If you're in contact with them, you are now their only job. They clear the frequency, they vector traffic away from you, they alert emergency services at the nearest suitable airport. They give you direct routing. They tell you winds at every airport within range. They coordinate with crash fire rescue before you even ask. They stay on frequency with you until you're on the ground. Think about what is in that list. Every single one of those things requires nothing from you except the willingness to make one call. Now, there are two levels here that every pilot should know cold. Mayday is a full emergency. Your life or the aircraft is in immediate danger. Pan said twice, "Pan, pan, pan, pan is an urgency call. Not immediate danger, but you need priority handling. An alternator failure with plenty of battery remaining. A passenger who is ill but stable. A fuel situation that is manageable but that you want runway priority for. Both calls get you help. Mayday gets you the full emergency response. Pan Can gets you priority attention without activating every resource at the field." Most pilots do not know the pan-pan call nearly as well as they should. It is the middle tool that lives between a routine advisory and a full emergency, and it is underused to a degree that contributes directly to accidents. If something is going on that is not quite an emergency but is not quite routine either, pan-pan is exactly the right call. It tells ATC you need attention without declaring the full emergency, and if things deteriorate, you can always upgrade to Mayday. Let me walk through a scenario with you, not a hypothetical, a composite drawn from the kind of reports the NTSB sees with regularity. A pilot departs on a cross country. About an hour out, the oil pressure gauge shows slightly low, not in the red, just lower than normal. The engine is running fine. No roughness, no unusual sounds. He knows gauges can be unreliable. He decides to monitor it and continue. 20 minutes later, the pressure has dropped further. Still not in the red, he is now 40 minutes from his destination. He adds it to his mental workload and keeps flying. 15 minutes after that, the engine starts to run rough. The pressure is now near the lower limit of the green arc. He is 30 minutes from the destination. He never calls ATC. He is managing it. He reduces power. He starts a gentle descent. He is thinking he can make it. He does not make it. He lands in a field 4 miles short of the airport. The airplane is substantially damaged. He walks away. When investigators ask him why he never called, he says, "I thought I had it handled. I did not want to tie up the frequency." Here is where scenario-based thinking matters so much in training. When you debrief that flight from the beginning, there were at least 3 moments where the right action was to pick up the radio and say something. The first was when the oil pressure first showed low on departure. That is not a mayday, but that is a reason to consider turning around, or at minimum a reason to let ATC know your situation before it develops. The second was when the pressure dropped further. That is a pan-pan situation right there. No drama. Just pan, 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 center, Cessna 73 November, oil pressure indicating low, requesting vectors to nearest suitable airport as a precaution. The third was when the engine started running rough. At that point, the word is mayday. What actually happened is that each individual data point seemed manageable on its own. The pilot was making a series of small decisions, each of which felt reasonable, without ever stepping back to evaluate the whole picture. This is the definition of plan continuation bias. Each step forward felt justified. No single moment felt like the crisis it collectively was. The way to interrupt that pattern is to pre-brief it, before the flight, not during. Before you go, you establish in your own mind what conditions will trigger a radio call for help. You do not wait until you're in the moment to decide. You decide while you're standing at the airplane with your brain at full capacity and your heart rate at rest. What does low oil pressure mean to you? At what point does it become a pan call? At what point does it become a mayday? What about engine roughness in the first few seconds? What about an electrical bus failure at night? What about an unusual smell in the cockpit? If you have thought through these scenarios before takeoff, the decision in the cockpit is not a new decision. It is the execution of a decision you already made on the ground. This is the same principle behind the engine failure briefing. You decide what you're going to do before the engine fails, so when it fails, there is no deliberation, there is execution. Applying that same logic to the emergency declaration changes everything about how you respond when your workload spikes. Let me give you the actual phraseology, because knowing what to say makes saying it vastly easier when you need to. If you're declaring a full emergency, the call goes, "Mayday, mayday, mayday," then the facility name or any station, then your aircraft call sign, then the nature of the emergency, then your position and altitude, then your intentions. It might sound like, "Mayday, mayday, mayday, center Cessna 6873 November, engine running rough, 20 miles northeast of Millard, 4500, requesting direct and emergency equipment standing by." That is the call. Say it clearly. Then listen. ATC takes it from there. If you do not know who to call, 121.5 is the emergency frequency. Every ATC facility monitors it. Every military installation monitors it. If you're lost, if you have lost your assigned frequency, if you genuinely do not know where else to go, 121.5 is always there. Now, let me address the I do not want to tie up the frequency concern directly. It is one of the most persistent and harmful ideas in general aviation. When you declare an emergency, ATC's immediate job is to clear the frequency for you. You are not an imposition, you are exactly the type of traffic the air traffic system is designed to serve. Every controller I have ever spoken with about this says the same thing. They would rather handle 100 Mayday calls that turn out to be precautionary than miss the one that was real. If you are working toward a check ride, this is worth knowing for the airman certification standards as well. The ACS for private pilot does not just require that you know emergency procedures, it requires that you demonstrate risk management. Risk management means recognizing when a situation has evolved beyond what you should handle alone and taking appropriate action. An examiner who sees a student freeze during a simulated emergency, unwilling to make the radio call because it feels presumptuous, is seeing the same cognitive pattern that shows up in accident reports. Practice the call out loud. In your living room, if you need to Mayday, 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 get comfortable with those three words before the day arrives when your voice has to produce them automatically under stress. Here are the practical things I want you to take away from this. Think through your declare threshold before every flight in your pre-flight briefing. Ask yourself what conditions you will observe that would trigger a call to ATC. Make it specific. Make it yours. Know PAN as well as you know Mayday and use it early. It costs you almost nothing and means ATC knows your situation before it gets worse. Practice the phraseology until it is automatic. Mayday three times. Who you are calling, who you are, what is happening, where you are, what you intend to do. Get over the paperwork fear. The FAA is not your adversary when you declare. The accidents that happen when pilots do not declare are the ones that concern them. And consider briefing your passengers. If you ever do make that call, the people sitting next to you will be much calmer if they have heard you say in advance, "If you hear me say Mayday on the radio, that is me asking for priority handling." It is not the movie version. It is the system doing what it was built to do. The three words that change everything in the cockpit are the ones your training gave you. The question is whether you have decided before the flight that you will say them. The data says your brain will resist. Decide now, on the ground, so you do not have to decide then. I pulled from the NTSB Accident Database and the Aeronautical Information Manual for today's episode. More at radiohanger.com. Fly safe.